Senate Special Committee on Budget to order Tuesday, August 2nd, 2005. Appreciate everyone's attendance. Three items on the agenda today. Well, this morning we have another agenda this afternoon or first thing in the morning. We have a few more bills to get out before we close down. First item on the agenda today is House Bill 5164A, Economic and Community Development Department. Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 5164 is the budget bill for the Economic and Community Development Department. The agency administers programs that aid business and communities and includes the Arts Commission and pass-through funds for the Film and Video Office. The Senate changed the House bill to reflect the negotiated budget agreement. These changes include a $15 million reduction to the industrial lands bonding, with a savings of $4 million in lottery funds debt service. The agency can issue $45 million in bonds for industrial lands. The reduced debt service of $1.9 million is shifted onto other funds from interest earnings on lottery-backed bonds. Second, denial of $3.5 million in funds to increase regional and rural investment. Counties can use additional funds from lottery line games to restore this funding. Elimination of $9 million in funding for the innovation economy. Most of the $9 million is funded in SB 838 and SB 853. Addition of $280,000 to provide staff support to the innovation economy, including one position and FTE. Reductions to the Oregon Development Fund and Small Business Development Center line item. The budget agreement includes a provision that $3.35 million of the reduction will be restored if lottery funds revenue exceed the end-of-session forecast for the Strategic Reserve Fund. Budget notes that require performance-based contracts for the Small Business Development Center Network and Women, Minority, and Small Business Development Services, with oversight and reporting to the Joint Legislative Audit Committee. And lastly, a budget note that requires the department to conduct a review of its statutory provisions related to the legislatively approved performance measures with oversight and reporting to the Joint Legislative Audit Committee. The total approved budget is $457.9 million and 115 FTE. The Senate Transportation and Economic Development Subcommittee recommends that HB 5164A be amended and reported out due pass as amended, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much. Questions for the senator?
Just a quick question.
Sure.
Fair enough. On that innovation economy package, refresh my memory as to 838 and 853. Where is that money coming from or what?
838, the money's in the bill. Instead of coming out of the department itself, 838 is the innovation economy bill itself. That has gone forward. We did put $250,000 or $280,000, I think it is, into the department itself for the Innovation Council. And then Senate Bill 853 is the venture capital portion of the innovation economy plan. We're going to do that, Senator Morse's bill, instead of in the department's allocation.
Thank you.
Further discussion? Senator Morse.
Mr. Chair, previous actions, I think, did not include the $2 million for commercialized research. Are we now adding it back?
No. It is done through the Senate Bill 853, your bill.
Mr. Chair, by your leave, I think the confusion says where it deletes the $9 million, elimination of the $9 million in funding for the innovation economy. That was the full package when it initially entered the session, and it's now $7 million for the ONAMI package, and the commercialization fund recognized in Senate Bill 853 deals with the other $2 million that was deleted.
That's accurate. Further question? Senator Gorsuch?
There is a bill, Mr. Chair, I believe that adds legislators to the Economic and Community Development Board. Where is that bill in the process?
I have no idea. Staff have any idea? We do not know.
Mr. Chair? Mr. Yes. Salzgiver may have unique information on that issue.
This is a critical piece of information.
Mike, could I just say for the record, I think that's the best tie I've ever seen you wear.
You can bring it. Please go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, Mike Salzgiver, interim director for OECDD. The bill that you were referring to, Senator Gordley, is Senate Bill 1098. It is a rewrite of the Special Public Works Fund statutes. and the provisions that would add those two members to our commission are in that bill. That bill is currently in State and Federal Affairs Committee and awaiting action.
Thank you. Further questions for Mr. Salzgiver?
One question. Could you explain to me the effects of the budget note on page 8 of 10?
I didn't bring it with me, but if
Let me just read it. Oh, somebody's
Ms. Lamont probably could do that. Before Mike on the spot here.
It's all right. I'll sit with you.
All right.
I have to show my tie off.
Thank you, Mr. Lamont. Now, which the Budget Economic Development Commission is the director to establish a performance contract for small business developments in a network?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, there are two essentially identical budget notes relating to the two line items that have been established within this budget. Both of them require OECDD to develop performance-based contracts for services that are provided through those line items with oversight by the Joint Legislative Audit Committee.
How does this differ from other them developing performance-based measures on all activity as opposed to just this one?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, all of the other services that are provided through, I may be overstating slightly, but most of the services that are provided through the Oregon Development Fund are based on performance-based contracts negotiated by the commission with the entities receiving these services. By taking the small business development centers and business development services for minority women and emerging small business out of the oversight of the commission, they are no, by creating these line items, there's no longer a requirement for any kind of performance-based contract. So therefore, this language was put in to require that with oversight of the Joint Legislative Audit Committee.
I see. Thank you very much.
Good question. Further discussion? Objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Next item on the agenda, House Bill 2588A, relating to the study of chiropractic services provided in workers' compensation claims. Senator Westland.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Current workers' compensation law does not allow a chiropractor to be considered an injured worker's attending physician, and utilization of chiropractic services is limited. Some studies indicate that overall medical cost of workers' compensation claims could be reduced by allowing more access to chiropractors while providing more effective treatment. Under this bill, the Oregon Health Sciences University will conduct a 5-year research study of the impact of allowing open access to chiropractic services in workers' compensation claims. An 8-member advisory committee representing workers' compensation stakeholders will be appointed by the director of the Department of Consumer and Business Services. The DCBS director ultimately has approval authority of project design and implementation. A report from OHSU at the conclusion of the study is due by June 30, 2011. The project would be funded with no more than $999,360 of workers' benefit fund reserves over the next 3 biennium. I recommend that House Bill 2588A be reported out and due pass.
Discussion? Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was originally contacted by a constituent who is a doctor of chiropractic about this bill, and I promised that I would support the concept. Therefore, today I'm going to be a courtesy yes. In preparing for today's hearing and under close scrutiny, there are several aspects of this measure that trouble me a great deal. One of them is that MLAC is not supportive, and I think they have provided information saying that members of MLAC support a workers' compensation system that, which provides appropriate benefits for injured workers at a reasonable cost for employers. We do not believe that HB 2588A is the right approach, and we ask you not to support it. That's very worrisome to me. Also, I think one of the signatories on that letter, Mr. Shipwreck, has a unique access to information because of his participation in the Mahonia Hall conversation about workers' comp some time ago. Also, prior to considering the bill, I had no idea of the enormous fiscal. This is a $1 million impact. I believe there's an alternative presented in SB 669 that is a study of all our alternatives. It's faster. It reports back in 2 years instead of 5, so it's inclusive and cheaper. Also, in anticipation of seeing this bill, I did a bit of research, and there is really a paucity of complaints about the lack of availability to chiropractic services. Finally, I'm very worried about the Board of Chiropractic continuing to remain deeply divided on what constitutes a standard of care. I've been in the legislature now 3 terms, and every term I have had the Doctors of Chiropractic appear, the board appear before a committee where I served, and not only give differing versions in the committee, but also work the halls with differing versions about what constitutes a standard of care. And as long as the chiropractic physician community is divided on this issue, I don't know how a study can be particularly efficacious. So outside of being contacted by one doctor of chiropractic urging me to support this bill, I have only heard reasons why this is the wrong vehicle, and other vehicles exist to determine the efficacy of chiropractic treatment for injured workers. So again, I am a courtesy yes today because of a promise made to look at the concept of the bill, but I believe this is the wrong vehicle, and I reserve the opportunity to be a no on the floor.
Thank you very much. Further discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to be, I'm a no vote.
Senator Carter's court is no. Any other objections? Senator Schrader is also a no. Passes. All right. House Bill 3466, relating to Oregon State Lottery funding of sports programs at institutions of higher education. And we're going to start out with a particular presentation by the exciting, vivacious, and always knowledgeable Adrienne Sexton. Please.
Well, Mr. Chair, you put me on the spot. I did distribute to you at the dais there a packet of information on House Bill 3466 as it was received by the Budget Committee from the Senate Rules Committee. It is in its A engrossed form. In its A engrossed condition, the measure would establish a 1% dedication of lottery net lottery proceeds from the Economic Development Fund to the Oregon State University System's sports programs that currently receive dedicated funds from the Sports Action Lottery Games. The measure would repeal the Sports Action Lottery Games and substitute the 1% dedication. In your packet, you have a staff measure summary and fiscal statement based on a set of -A3 amendments. Those A3 amendments would substitute for the 1% dedication a $3 million annual dedication. Pardon me?
Referring to the A3 or the A2 amendments?
The materials that you have that I was working from this morning are A3s. The A3, and I'll get to the A2s in a moment, the A3 amendments would establish that $3 million annual allocation beginning July 1, 2006. So that would occur for the second fiscal year of the current biennium. I've also distributed to you the -A2 amendments. They do the same thing as A3 in the context of the $3 million dedication. However, it would begin with the beginning of the 07-09 biennium. So the discussion in the staff measure summary and the fiscal statement on the A3 version would indicate that if you were to adopt the A3s, budgets of a number of state agencies would have to be modified for the 05-07 biennium to reflect a reduction in the available revenue for distribution. The A2 amendments would push the effect out into the 07-09 biennium.
Very good. Good presentation. Discussion? Questions? Senator Johnson, please.
I guess what I'm trying to understand is that I have heard a number of conflicting comments about this program. First, let me state I'm very respectful of the work done by Mr. Mihalik and others that are interested in bringing other sports opportunities to Oregon. I know that they are lucrative and highly desirable. But I have some reservations about this bill. I'm pleased that the amendments have moved us in the direction away from a percentage and to a fixed amount. But I am curious and have been told that the games, the sports action is not operating legally now. And I have not heard a satisfactory answer to that. If, in fact, that game is not appropriate now, why is it operating and why are we offsetting with $3 million a game that isn't appropriate or operating correctly now?
Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, I don't think I can answer that question. It's the first that I've heard that it's not legal. It is a program that was established prior to a federal preemption.
That may be it. Okay. Okay. Thank you.
It is legal.
Thank you.
Further questions?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Carter.
I would be voting no on this. I was a part of that group that sought federal preemption to be able to pay for some of our sports games in this state, and needless to say, it was a big fight nationally because they felt as if we were going outside of the boundaries of what should be done in terms of professional sports, and for that reason, I would be a no vote.
Mm-hmm. I think what the chair would like to do is move the -2 amendments to the bill. It'll make our getting out of session, quite frankly, a lot easier, a lot simpler. We have the opportunity to put this practice that other states no longer do to rest, and have the opportunity to fund this program through lottery monies going forward, which is probably a better vehicle, as Senator Johnson alluded to, and allow some phase out over the next year and a half, 2 years, so that we can get the universities all oriented that way and make sure our budget runs appropriately. So the chair would be entertaining a motion to move the -2s to House Bill 34.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Senator Devlin moves the -2 amendments, A2 amendments to 3466. Any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, so order.
Mr. Chair, before you finish the run of motions, my only other question is then that this $3 million annually would go on in perpetuity.
Subject to budget discussions, but yes.
Okay, but subject to budget discussions, my concern is that we've had to make some very difficult decisions in all of our recent memory, and I would find it very difficult to be appropriating money for sports activities when we were turning people away from critical services, and I am just curious if there's an opportunity here.
I can tell you, this is a sweaty white guy. I'm not going to vote against any Title IX money going to sports for a variety of different people and groups that don't make money, and then therefore, if this allocation is not done year after year, would lose the opportunity to learn teamwork, build confidence, and some of the other great values I'd like to think are educational institutions and still.
It was the sweaty white guy comment that moved me to a yes.
Okay. All right. Further discussion. Motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move House Bill 3466 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you, Senator. Objections? We have Senator Carter as an objection. Other objections? Seeing none, so ordered. I thank everyone for their attendance. We'll keep on guard. We may have one more meeting either later this afternoon or tomorrow morning of this committee. You guys have worked very hard. I appreciate your hard work. You're adjourned.
Harry, you're on the bill, please. This is the